It's time to take a break with Gene and Mary. Every weekday at noon Eastern Time, join us as we talk about what's on our minds. Email us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com or interact with us on Facebook for your chance to win a pork chop participation prize every week.
Warning, side effects may include jocularity, increased knowledge, and a great way to spend 15 minutes.
Hey, Mary.
Hey, Gene.
How you doing over there?
Oh, man, I like this day. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Excellent.
February 17th.
Oh my goodness. You know, I don't even keep track of that sort of thing. I don't even think I have a calendar.
I do. That's what I'm here for. I am a keep tracker type person.
February 17th
was my mother's birthday. Cabbage Day. Random Acts of Kindness Day, which I think is absolutely appropriate. It's Ash Wednesday this year. It's Gene Albertson's birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gene. I'm glad you don't live in a zoo.
Thank you. I don't know, though. It might be kind of fun.
You'd be hanging out with the monkeys and riding the rhinoceros. You'd be getting into too much trouble because you'd become a berserker in there, I think.
Maybe so.
Oh, man. But,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like these birthdays, they keep coming. I guess it's my understanding that birthdays were invented back in colonial America because life was so hard and people died and they wanted to be happy the kid lived another year.
Really?
I hadn't thought
about it. I just thought birthday was a birthday.
No, that's why you get a lot of families in from the olden days like that will have like two sons the same name, two Johns. They wanted John to carry on as a family name because it was important.
I know someone who is a fourth, and I've talked about him before. And I'll have to tell his mother, Tina Smith. Joseph Conrad Smith is the fourth. His father is the third, but his father's brother was the second.
Uh-huh.
So they did that. They named the child who lived after the father, and then they carried it on down to the grandson.
Yeah. I'd never heard of that before. I saw some show on TV where the guy always introduced himself and then his brothers, and the brothers were both the same name. So,
you know, George Foreman, the boxer, right? He was a boxer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a champion boxer, and he does the Foreman grills.
Good.
All of his sons are named George.
That's
awesome. I think he has like six or seven.
Yeah.
You know what? There's another topic for Barb. How many George Foremans are there?
You know, that is almost would be worth, if I had the money to do it, I'd almost have kids just to name them after me, all of them. That'd be just for fun.
You could name your daughters Jean and Jeannie and Jeanette or whatever.
Oh, you know what? It's so funny that you say that, because when my first daughter was born, my wife and I kind of decided, you know, that we were going to name it Jean if it was a boy, and we decided it would be Jennifer if it was a girl. And I jokingly thought about, you know, making it Jennifer with a G. And then when the time came and she was born, I didn't say with a G because I didn't want her to go her whole life saying, my name's Jennifer with a G.
Uh-huh.
And so when she got to be grown up, and I told her that story once, and she looked at me and she immediately changed her name to a G.
Oh, my.
She likes it. And she's been Jennifer with a G ever since about late high school.
Because it makes her different. It makes her stand out. She's unique.
Yeah, she's definitely so. What a funny thought. I hadn't thought about that in a while.
That's so cool. I have a word of the day for you to think about.
Good, good. I love words.
Bibliolater.
Bibliolater.
Or in some circles, bibliolater.
Bibliolater. Well, I'll tell you what.
What?
I believe that biblio is dealing with the Latin root for book.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know what the suffix would be. So I'm going to count on you to fill me in.
Well, you're absolutely right that it does come from the 19th century, from biblio plus later or later. I don't know how it's pronounced. Usually I put the pronunciation down here, but for whatever reason, today I forgot. But it is a person who extravagantly admires a book or books.
Oh.
It is a person who interprets the Bible on an extremely literal level.
Interesting.
Yes, I thought it was very intriguing, so actually.
Would you say the word again, please?
Biblio-later.
Biblio-later.
B-I-B-L-I-O-L-A-T-E-R.
That's so interesting. Yeah. It would be relating to a very extreme feeling about a book.
Yes. And I have always admired books. I dreamed of having a personal library at home. I wanted to have my own library, kind of like Nora Wells. Uh-huh. You know, she was one of the, well, she was the matron of the house that we know as Green Gables in Melbourne, Florida. Very historical house that Be Unique was instrumental in helping to save. Mm-hmm. And if anybody wants to know the story about that, just go to beunique.org and you will find a lot of stuff about Green Gables on that site. Yeah. We just love the house. We love the history. And
Forgotten Enchantress.
Yes, Forgotten Enchantress is a movie. There's the link right there on it. We created that documentary, and that's the reason that we were able to be instrumental in saving this house.
Absolutely.
I loved books. I still love books. I actually have a little pendant that says, I will die with a stack of books I've never read. And I like books for the sake of the book, not so much for, I mean, yes, I love to read them too. And I have 9 books I need to finish reading so that I can review them for Be Unique's book review section.
Oh my.
And when we moved into this house where we are now 4 years ago, I was able to put in bookshelves and they were stacked with books. But interestingly enough, I've decided to start sharing my books with others. I'm doing that now, and it gives me just as much joy as reading them. Most of them I've already read anyway, so it's not a big loss to me.
Well, it's kind of fun to talk about the ideas with other people, because
yes,
that's what I get from books. Is I don't read like I used to. When I was growing up in South Dakota, pre-internet days,
uh-huh,
the books were my vehicle out of there.
Yes.
And I read about the world, and I traveled the world through books, you know.
I didn't live in South Dakota. I grew up in South Carolina. Must be something about the South.
Yeah, from South.
But I was in a very rural area as well. My closest neighbor was my grandmother. She was half a mile down the road, dirt, tiny little one-lane dirt road. This was a road so narrow that you actually, if somebody came from the opposite direction, you had to pull over into the ditch and wait for them to pass. And sometimes both cars stopped and then you didn't know who was supposed to go next. So that was sometimes I'd see my father get out of the car and go talk to the other driver. And then they would rock, paper, scissors or something.
Decide how to do it.
Decide who's going first. Because it was like a little game of chicken in slow motion. They'd, mm-hmm, they'd start going and the other car would start going and then they'd stop and they'd both stop. So it was interesting. It would have been to make a great Charlie Chaplin movie. But I actually won, I was in the fifth grade, I think, I won an award during the summer for reading the most books.
Sweet.
And we had to read the books, go back to the library and give an oral book report to the librarian. And I would give her sometimes 2 or 3 reports in a week. So at the end of summer, she declared me the winner. And guess what I got? A book of my own.
Book of your very own.
A brand new book of my own. Now this was, in this particular time, we lived in a town. It was a small town, but there was a school that had a library, and that was where our library was. We didn't have an actual library, but it, mm-hmm, stayed open during the summer for the children. But then when we moved to another area that was more rural, we had a bookmobile that came through, and I loved,
oh, wow,
I love walking into that bookmobile. I felt like I had gone into a little corner of Nirvana because I was just surrounded by books. And I
came to you.
Yeah, books that came to me. And I could read. I very seldom had to renew a book. I could almost always read the book that I had checked out within 2 weeks.
Right.
And I got into a lot of trouble with my sisters because I would be reading books and they would be doing dishes or doing laundry or whatever. And they didn't appreciate that I got away with reading books.
Are you a
book? I'm a bibliolater.
Are you a book rereader? Re-reader. Are you one of the people that will go reread books?
I have been known to do that. I don't do it as much now as I used to, simply because I feel like I've already read the book. The information is there. Now, I'll go back and read a chapter or a paragraph sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I'm also so extremely busy with Be Unique. And I read every day, all day long. Articles right. or press releases. Actually, not doing so many press releases now, thanks to my fantastic administrative assistant, Gwen.
Woo-hoo.
I call her my star puppy. She's just phenomenal. She takes all these press releases and she works with the agents to, and she discerns. She's got a very discerning mind. So she knows what makes a good Be Unique post, what makes a good Be Unique podcast, what might make a good Be Unique feature, and what just needs to be thrown away.
Clearly a good extrapolator.
Yes, she's a very good extrapolator.
Excellent.
And that's a great segue, because I want to extrapolate from this list that Barb made.
Uh-huh.
She made a list from using Goodreads, Amazon ratings and reviews, and other research, the greatest books ever written, or high, you know, really well-written books and books that were on the bestseller lists.
Okay.
And I was shocked at the one. Now, I'm guessing these are in numerical order. I could be wrong. There are only 14 on the list, so we've got time to go over them and discuss them a little bit. The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. I would not have expected that to, I mean, it's been made into a television series.
Right.
But I would not have expected it to be on the top selling list. Mm-mm. Now, I did expect to see Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird there.
Right.
I also was not surprised to see Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.L. Lewis was another book that was on the list. And I have to tell you, this reminds me of a story that I read when I was a substitute teacher. I used to take it to the schools and I'd read it to my kids, especially if I knew I'd be there for a pregnancy relief. You know, whenever a teacher would go home and have maternity leave, I would have her class for 6 to 8 weeks. There was a book, and I do not recall the name of the author, but it was called The Indian in the Wardrobe.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to read. And that reminds me of, now I have to look this up.
Well, you just, when you said The Indian in the Wardrobe, I actually saw a movie about that, but it reminded me of The Mouse and the Motorcycle was the one that I read.
Oh, yeah.
Beverly Cleary, I think. Ralph, the little, that was just, I lived that story. It was awesome.
And this all ties in with The Ransom of Red Chief by one of my all-time favorite writers, O. Henry.
Hmm.
Didn't make it on the top list, but that's okay. Gone with the Wind by Margaret Mitchell did. Animal Farm.
I read that book for years.
Yeah.
I never finished it.
I just watched the movie.
I finally did.
Animal Farm by George Orwell.
My favorite.
The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
And we mentioned this a few shows ago. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. Douglas Abrams. Marcus Zusak wrote a book called The Book Thief, and it's on this list. Wuthering Heights by Emily Bronte. Now here's a book that's on the list that is very controversial by Dan Brown, and it's called The Da Vinci Code.
Hmm.
Do you know why it's controversial?
Well, I have not seen or the movie or read the book, but I think it has something to do with, why don't you tell me?
Okay. Well, some people don't like Dan Brown's writing style. They think he's amateurish.
Okay.
And he very well may be. My thought is he's amateurish, but he made quite a bit of money selling this story. And it's been made into a movie with one of my favorite actors, Tom Hanks. So it can't be all bad. I've read the book. I've watched the movie. I love them both. And well, I know there are,
that's all that's important.
There are some purists out there who would poo-poo me and shame me, and I don't care. But the idea behind the Da Vinci Code is it's a mystery, and there's danger, and someone has, I don't remember exactly, but it goes through, it has to do with the Illuminati, and that's a whole other subject to talk about. Maybe we'll have, I'll add that to my
another show about that.
I'll add that to my list.
Well, I remember something about it being like a secret sort of code or information that permeates all of civilization.
Yes.
Like the Freemason sort of thing that people talk about.
You're absolutely right. Part of the code is that they supposedly, the Catholic Church doesn't want this uncovered, is that Mary Magdalene, who is in the Bible portrayed as a prostitute, became not only Jesus's good friend, but she was married to Jesus. And so her daughter, or her progeny throughout the lines, several generations later, well, probably thousands of years later, the blood of Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene still runs through a living human being who the historian who unearths this code, he finds her, he meets her, they figure out what the situation is.
Huh. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. I think it's a good theory. And I'm able to look beyond technical mishaps in writing if the story's good.
Sure. Now, well, I was going to say, are there any other books? We didn't get through them all.
There are three more on this list. I've read two of them. Well, read one, watched the movie, and the other one I've just watched. Arthur Golden wrote a book called Memoirs of a Geisha.
Okay.
Very fascinating. It's very detailed. Supposedly, it's kind of like a whistleblower thing where this woman ages out of being a geisha and she gets married, and then she tells her story of how she became a geisha.
I see.
Some of the history of what people do and will put themselves through, and how we as a human race have sold our daughters, especially, not so much sons, but into virtual slavery of sorts. And that was the story behind this, was this young girl and her sister, when their mother died, their father didn't know what to do with them. So he sold them to a geisha house.
Yeah.
And one succeeded, the other did not.
That's what they did. And in medieval Europe, they just set them in a basket on the church step or somewhere in somebody in town and went by and got them if they needed one, you know.
It's kind of crazy what we've done. And we did a book review on a story that was based on a factual encounter called The Temple Dancer, which brings to light what happens in India in some of the temples. Mm-hmm. They called them Devadashis, and they were supposedly married to the god of that particular temple. There was a lot that went on behind the scenes that people didn't know about. And supposedly this has been outlawed, but not really.
Well, I think it probably goes back to what we were talking about the other day about the way that we've taken and presented God to each other.
Yes.
As far as the different methods and religions that have come up and ways that we've presented it to each other. And,
well, like I said in a previous show, I got lambasted because of a post I made on Facebook that I was just sharing someone else's words, but they resonated with me.
Right.
Jesus wasn't a Christian. Buddha wasn't a Buddhist. Muhammad wasn't a Muslim. They were just teachers. And if anybody knows anything about the Jewish religion, the word rabbi means teacher. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, they called him rabbi.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, the thing you were talking about, the geisha, that made, and we were talking about books, I immediately went to like one of the greatest books I ever read in my life.
Madame Butterfly.
No.
No?
But but that's probably on your list there, because that's a
good
book.
No, it's not.
No. I was in an Asian history class that we had an optional read, The Tale of Genji. It's like 1,400 pages, medieval Japan history. And it's like a novel. It's a classic novel.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of work and extra work, but it just absolutely was fascinating. It totally took you to the world of medieval Japan. I mean, the writing was just beautiful. I still today, I'm sitting there feeling the breeze and the wisteria trees brushing against my skin with this book, you know.
So when you were a student, whether in elementary school, high school, college, whatever, were you one to raise your hand for extra credit when the instructor or the teacher or professor or whatever said, hey, I've got an extra credit assignment for you?
Yeah, usually.
I did. I was a straight A+ student. I stayed on dean's list, and I still would like raise my hand if they said, okay, anybody. In fact, I had one professor said, Mary, put your hand down. This is for people who need extra help. You don't need it. I said, but I want it. I want to learn more. She said, you don't need this. Go away.
Stop it.
You're just making more work for me in the end. But I was just so rabid about learning as much as I could.
Well, I learned a lot, but I rode the fence. I was right on the line. Like I wanted A's, but I would be okay with B+ or A-. If I knew I could get extra credit and I could slack on something, then I would balance it out to still get my A-.
Oh, see, I was, that was not good enough for me.
No.
And I'm learning though, that I can let go of some of that need to control my surroundings. That was how I controlled my world.
Exactly.
I was as perfect as I could be. And now I don't need to be perfect anymore.
You could call your shots by doing that.
Yes. I have two more books to list. And this one, I've only seen the movie. It's by John Green. It's called The Fault in Our Stars. It's basically a love story, star-crossed lovers, love gone awry. Don't really remember all the details. And the last one is by J.R.R. Tolkien. And it's called The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings.
Huh. Interesting.
I've never read the book, but I've seen The Lord of the Rings.
Wow. So, I have no familiarity with it at all.
It's total fantasy, absolute fantasy.
Well, I guess as I look at the clock, talk about fantasy, my fantasy would be not to have to quit taking a break, but it's time to head out. I know we're really happy everybody that's listening took a break with us. Thank you so much for coming and listening. Please come back again. Don't hesitate to give us a shout out online. Contact Gene and Mary at gmail.com. And visit Be Unique for details about all of our radio shows. They're all great.
That's BUNEKE.org. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.